Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, Halloweeners? Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. This is our Halloween episode coming at you from Salem, week of Halloween. Happy Halloween to all you out there. We are so excited to be filming this special, or recording, we're not filming.
Yeah, recording.
Recording our Halloween episode for you all. Give you a little something extra to get you through that morning portion of the day until the festivities can begin in the evening. Aiden, welcome. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Halloweeners.
Yeah. We thought it was a no-brainer as a Halloween podcast, or as a haunted and spooky podcast in Salem, Massachusetts. We were like, we need a Halloween episode.
Yeah, on Halloween, yes. We got to give the people something.
Absolutely.
So,
abso-friggin-lutely. Now, our Halloween episode is a little different. Aiden, do you want to explain to people how it's a little different than normal?
So, as anybody who's listened to the episode, to the podcast before would know, we normally do one city per episode that we each find a story for. But this time we're going to be doing two different cities. So I'm going to be doing one and then Nate's going to be doing one. And also, I have concocted two different cocktails, one for each story. So
wow.
Exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff.
So, the drink that I am doing first is something that will make more sense when you know the place, but it's the Dracula, I think it's called something along the lines of Dracula cocktail, something like that. So, it's an ounce each of whiskey, dark rum, and Kahlua, and then half an ounce of grenadine. Shaking it up, and then
shaking not stern.
Throwing that into a rocks glass.
Nice.
And it is meant to look like blood.
It very much looks like blood.
I'm sure that some people will be able to figure out where we're going for my story today.
But well, where are we headed?
We're heading to Transylvania, Romania.
I didn't realize it was in Romania.
It's fun to say.
Yeah, Transylvania, Romania.
The anus.
Yeah, the anus.
Not the anus.
Yeah. Jeez. Hasn't even had a sip yet.
I have not.
Well, should we cheers and then get into why we're heading to Transylvania?
Cheers, Rooney.
Cheers. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Yep. It's about what I expected. Pretty much all booze.
Now, how do the flavors mix up?
Honestly, you can really taste the Kahlua.
That makes sense, because it's coffee liqueur, right? Yeah.
Is it Kahlua or Bailey's that's coffee? One of them's cream, one of them's coffee.
Bailey is cream. Kahlua's coffee.
Kahlua's coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a coffee liqueur.
It's very prominent.
Is it?
In this drink.
Now, how does that mix with, I guess rum and coffee makes sense, I feel like. But whiskey and coffee, I guess that isn't that bad either.
It's weird because as it's going down, you get the sharp sensation of the whiskey, but then it just, the flavor is all coffee to me.
So it's basically whiskey flavored coffee.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you get the rum at all?
No.
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 The rum is just a passenger in this car.
It just kind of sits there.
It is not driving at all.
But we have another exciting addition to this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to introduce the people?
I will. So I have this trusty little thing next to me that we on this side of the table have a very fun power this episode where if at any point we want Aiden to take a sip of something, we hit our cheers button, which sounds like this. And he is legally required to take a sip of his cocktail whenever that button is hit.
Yep.
Has to. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So.
No buts.
No buts. No buts
all,
about
all
it.
All anus in this one.
All alcohol. So, yeah, no, definitely very excited to wield this power.
Will I can be mid-sentence in my story, and you can hit the button, and I have to stop. I have to drop everything and take a sip.
So, are we going to wield this power responsibly?
No.
Probably not.
No, you will not.
And that will be the fun part. So, yep.
But if you guys want us to keep going with this little thing, we can keep going with it.
That would be
just
fun.
Let us know.
That would be very fun. So, do you want to get into it? Should we hop on the plane?
Let's hop on the plane to Romania.
Macaronia.
Yep. Yep. You're getting
Romania.
There, bud.
Where... Romania? What countries is it next to?
It's in Eastern Europe. I'm not sure what its borders are.
Gotcha.
But
cool.
Yeah.
Probably Slovenia. And is Slovenia even a country?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was it an old one?
I mean, I know Slovakia is one.
Is that still a country?
Dude,
I don't know. We're,
I have no idea.
We're not a geography podcast, so we have no
idea. We're certainly not a geography podcast. Also, another disclaimer. Actually, I have two disclaimers for this episode. One is it's very gory because it's about like the origins of the vampire and stuff like that. So if you're not into that, maybe don't listen to mine. The other disclaimer is that there's a lot of big, scary words in this. I am going to mispronounce a lot of it. I apologize in advance.
Gotcha.
You're going to have to bear with me. So let's get into it. So, that was quick.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, man. Can't let him get comfortable. Just got to keep on his toes all night.
All right. Now that we've taken a sip, we can actually get into my story. So nestled deep in the heart of Eastern Europe lies a land cloaked in mist, legend, and contradiction.
Whoa.
Transylvania. Its very name conjures images of brooding castles, howling wolves, and the sinister figure of Count Dracula. Looming over the mountains.
Dracula.
But beyond the myths and Hollywood depictions lies a place with a real tangled history, one of war and empire, faith and superstition, and a prince whose name would echo through centuries as the world's most famous vampire.
I want to suck your blood.
Ace. Transylvania is a region of modern-day Romania, surrounded almost completely by the Carpathian Mountains. For centuries, it...
I didn't do
anything.
Dude,
okay.
He's on edge.
I'm on my toes because he's like messing with the button.
Yep, but I didn't hit it.
I know, I'm just waiting for it to go off. You can, like, get me, like, PTSD with this.
Yeah, I might be able to get you good. You're like, actually, everyone's like, oh, we want the button. You're like, fuck no, the button comes out once a year on Halloween. Oh, man.
I think it's a fun thing either way. Like, if it's a once-a-year thing or if it's, like, a every-episode thing.
Yeah.
Because, hey, it gets me...
We could do it in our international episodes, like, every 10.
Oh, that's a good one.
That'd be a good
one. Let us know if you if you guys want to hear
it. If you like the button.
If you hate the button, definitely let us know, and we'll boot it out of here.
If you hate this sound...
I will oblige this button.
Drink your drink.
I want to suck this drink.
Hey, yo.
I do hope you know, though, you're still not getting out of slam poetry.
That's, I expect to not be getting out of it.
I hope you have something written.
Not yet, but I can write something quickly during the break.
Cool. For centuries it was a crossroads of cultures because it was Romanian, Hungarian, Saxon, and, again, I think I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, Szekler. S-Z-E-K-L-E-R.
Szekler.
All leaving their mark in stone and story. Castles dot its hills, each one whispering tales of conquest and survival, but the landscape that inspired awe also bred fear. With its long winters, remote villages, and superstition-soaked folklore, Transylvania became a breeding ground for tales of the supernatural. But to understand why Transylvania became synonymous with darkness, one must understand the history. A place caught in the violent tug of war between East and West. So, the story of Transylvania begins long before the word Dracula was ever uttered. In ancient times, it was part of the kingdom of Dacia, a proud civilization known for its gold and fierce warriors. When the Romans conquered Dacia in 106 CE under Emperor Trajan, they left behind roads, fortresses, and Latin language roots that would later evolve into Romanian. But the Romans couldn't hold the region forever, and by the 3rd century, their empire began to crumble. And wave after wave of migrating peoples, the Goths, Huns, Avars, and Slavs, passed through the mountain passes, leaving their imprint on the region. By the Middle Ages, Transylvania had become part of the Kingdom of Hungary. Around the 12th century, German Saxons were invited to settle the land to build towns and fortifications against invasions. The Saxons brought with them Gothic architecture and Christian traditions, and their churches, often fortified like castles, still stand today, looming over the landscape like silent sentinels. Meanwhile, to the south of Transylvania lay Wallachia, another Romanian principality, and it's here that the man who would later become the inspiration for Dracula first appeared in history.
Ooh.
So now we're on to Vlad.
Vladdy.
The real name Dracula was not born from fiction. It belonged to a man, a prince, a warrior, and depending on who you ask, either a national hero or a monster. Vlad III, known later as Vlad, I think it's Tepes, or Teeps, or Vlad the Impaler, was born around 1431 in Sigisoara.
Oh, well.
I think.
Yeah, it's definitely not how that's pronounced.
No, if you could see the symbols around this.
Oh, shit, there's letters. Symbols?
Oh, yeah, there's symbols.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's definitely not pronounced correctly. A small Transylvanian town that still looks much as it did in the 15th century. His father, Vlad II Dracul, was a member of the Order of the Dragon, a chivalric order founded to defend Christian Europe from the Ottoman Turks. That's a cool name. Order of the Dragon.
Yeah. You're like,
yes, I am in the Order of the Dragon.
Yeah.
The word Dracul in Romanian means both dragon and devil, depending on context. So his son became Dracula, literally son of the dragon or son of the devil, depending on the translation. Vlad III's childhood was marked by treachery and blood. His father sought peace with the Ottoman Empire, but it came at a price. Young Vlad and his brother Radu were taken as hostages by the Sultan to ensure their father's loyalty. They spent years in captivity in the Ottoman court, where Vlad would learn Turkish military strategy and the brutal methods of the captors. When he was eventually released, he returned to a homeland in chaos. His father and older brother had been killed by rival factions, and Wallachia was a land torn apart by betrayal and invasion. From this storm, Vlad rose to power, determined never to be powerless again. His rule over Wallachia was short but infamous. Between 1456 and 1462, he ruled with a combination of cunning cruelty and ruthless efficiency. His enemies were many, the Ottoman Empire to the south, the Hungarians to the west, and noble families within his own borders who constantly plotted against him. To Vlad, the only way to secure peace was through fear. He became notorious for his preferred method of execution. His name is Vlad the Impaler, so what would his preferred execution method be?
Impaling?
Impalement, yeah.
Whoa. What kind of impalement?
So, victims were hoisted on wooden stakes and left to die slowly, displayed along roads or outside cities as warnings. Chroniclers tell of forests of the impaled, thousands of bodies skewered upright, swaying in the wind.
Ew.
Dude.
That's intense.
Like, imagine the smell.
Yeah. That's not, that's not good.
No. Understatement of the century. That's not good. In 1462, when Sultan Mehmed II invaded Wallachia with an army vastly larger than Vlad's, the prince turned to psychological warfare. One person described how the Sultan's army stumbled upon a valley filled with 20,000 impaled corpses, Turks and traitors alike, their faces frozen in agony. The sight was so horrifying that Mehmed reportedly turned back, unwilling to continue. To the Ottomans and rival nobles, Vlad was a monster. To his people, he was a protector, a brutal but necessary defender of Wallachia's independence. He enforced harsh laws, but also rooted out corruption and punished theft, even ordering that a golden cup be left at a public fountain, untouched by fear of theft. But in the end, cruelty breeds enemies, and Vlad was betrayed, captured by the Hungarians, and imprisoned for years. When he was finally released and tried to reclaim his throne, he was killed in battle around 1476. His head was sent to the Sultan, displayed on a stake in Constantinople as proof of his death. His body was buried in an unmarked grave, though legends say it was moved or stolen, leaving behind another mystery shrouded in fog. And that, in the eyes of history, was where Vlad's story should have ended. But centuries later, his name, Dracula, would rise from the grave. The transformation of Vlad the Impaler from medieval prince to immortal vampire began not in Transylvania, but in Victorian England. In 1897, an Irish writer named Bram Stoker published a novel called Dracula. Though not the first vampire story ever written, it became arguably the most well-known. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
I was wondering when that would happen.
I know, I was letting you go. I was getting into the story. I was like listening to the history. It's funny because I think you, I didn't know much about Vlad, but you always thought like just bad guy.
And bad guy.
Yeah, but it sounds like he had his reasons for being bad guy type of thing.
20,000 impaled people?
That's a lot of people.
That's just one instance. That's not even like over his career. That's like one field of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it became arguably the most well-known vampire story, and it was Stoker who cemented Transylvania as the land of the undead. But he never visited Romania, apparently. He gathered his information from books, travel logs, and folklore studies that were available in London's libraries. He found a brief reference to a 15th century Wallachian prince named Dracula in one of the books that he read, who was noted for his wars against the Turks and for his cruelty. So it's likely that Stoker was struck by the name Dracula and borrowed it for his fictional account. Originally, he had planned to set the story in Styria in Austria, but after learning of Transylvania's dark reputation and remote geography, he moved the setting there, and the rest, as they say, is legend. Stoker's Count Dracula is a creature of both horror and lore. He is an ancient nobleman dwelling in a castle high above a rugged Transylvanian landscape. When the young solicitor Jonathan Harker arrives to assist with a land purchase in England, he quickly realizes his host is not a man at all, but something far older, sustained by the blood of the living. The Count's journey from his Carpathian home to Victorian London mirrors the fears of Stoker's time, and the anxiety of invasion, the corruption of purity, and the clash between old superstition and modern science. The novel is told through diary entries and letters, giving it an almost documentary realism that made the horror all the more convincing.
Huh.
Though Stoker's vampire was fictional, the details, the eerie castle, the misty mountains, the night creatures, were all drawn from the real Transylvanian landscape. And it's here, in this merging of myth and fact, that the story of Dracula became immortal. Long before Stoker's novel, the people of Transylvania already believed in creatures of the night. The Strigoi, undead spirits said to rise from their graves to torment the living, were part of Romanian folklore for centuries. These restless souls were thought to be caused by improper burial, a life of sin, or curses. Villagers would sometimes exhume bodies suspected of being strigoi, staking them through the heart or burning them to ensure they stayed dead. Such beliefs weren't mere superstition. In isolated mountain villages where disease spread quickly and explanations were not very present, the line between life and death seemed fragile. When a villager died suddenly or animals grew sick, suspicion often turned to the graveyard. Even bats, wolves, and blood, all elements of vampire myth, had roots in Transylvanian life. The Carpathians were home to wolves that prowled at night. The bats often roosted in the towers of ruined castles, and the perfect imagery for Gothic horror was present.
This place sounds fucking terrifying.
It does sound terrifying, and it apparently is always, like, misty and, like, just
it's
super
always
remote.
Damp.
Yeah, just like... always... You're always a little sweaty.
Yeah.
And it's super remote.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, things like this would just be horrifying.
Yeah, absolutely horrifying.
Stoker's genius was not in inventing the vampire, but in synthesizing creatures, or centuries of myth, fear, and history into a single figure, which ended up being Count Dracula, the undead aristocrat who embodied both death and desire. When people imagine Dracula's castle, they often think of Bran Castle, perched dramatically on a cliff near Brusov. With its turrets and towers, it certainly looks
it's
the part.
What?
Turrets?
Oh.
What did you...
I thought you said turds. Turds and towers.
With its turds and towers.
And I was like, geez.
Yeah, with all the shit running through it. though there's no evidence Vlad the... Fair enough.
Oh. That was a real shiver.
Yeah, no, it...
That was a real shiver.
It crept up on me on that one.
Yeah.
though there's no evidence that Vlad the Impaler ever lived there, the Romanian government and tourism industry have long embraced the association. It really reminds me of Salem a lot.
Yeah. They're like, no, you lived here.
Yeah.
And everyone's
no,
like,
actually, this is Vlad's, like, yeah. This is where he lived forever.
Yeah, ever. So long.
He all of the bodies that were impaled were here. Right here.
Right here.
Right
here. For an extra $29.99, you can be one. Like, we'll get you on the stake for a little bit, then sew you back up, and you get a picture, and it's awesome.
Would you like a plushie of a staked person for another $15? In truth, Vlad's real stronghold was, I think it's pronounced Panera Castle.
Panera Bread?
It was actually at Panera Bread. He loved a cheddar broccoli soup.
Ooh, me bread fucking bowl. Too, Vlad.
Yeah,
he was onto something, dude.
He was onto something. Dude, that lemonade kills people. He was like, this lemonade is the shit.
It's fucking awesome.
I'm going to give it to all of my enemies. But it's a ruin that's clinging to the edge of the... We're at the tail end, so he's just going to use them all up.
I also will admit that one was by accident. I was fixing my sock and it was in my hand and I pressed it and I was like, I guess we got to roll with it.
A misfire. To reach this castle, visitors must climb nearly 1,500 steps, which is a pilgrimage of sorts.
That's a fuck ton of steps.
Yeah, that's not...
That's not a small amount of steps.
Not something that I'd want to do. Local legends say his wife threw herself from the cliffs to avoid capture by the Turks.
Whoa.
And her blood stained the rocks below. Whether at Bran or Panera, you can still feel something ancient and watchful in those mountains. A sense that the ghosts of history have not yet slept. Over a century after Stoker's Dracula was published, the vampire has become one of the most recognizable figures in modern culture. From Bela Lugosi's suave portrayal in the 1931 film to Christopher Lee's terrifying elegance in the Hammer films, and even modern reimaginings and novels and TV, Dracula continues to evolve with every generation. In Romania, attitudes towards the legend have changed dramatically over time. Under communist rule, the association of a national hero with a blood-drinking monster was discouraged. Vlad Tepes was a... Is it Tepes? Teeps? Teps? I don't know. was celebrated instead as a patriot who defended his people against foreign domination. After the fall of communism, however, the country embraced the Dracula legend for tourism, with Dracula tours, haunted hotels, and Halloween festivals in Transylvania becoming a thriving industry. Again, sounds a lot like another place that we know.
Yep.
Salem, Massachusetts.
Dude, I'll trade anyone that's listening to this. If they live in Romania or like Transylvania or anywhere, you can have my apartment for a week in Salem, and I'll go stay at your place in Romania for a week.
I'll second that. I would love that. That would be
like,
sick.
That'd be so sick.
Go see where Dracula lived.
Yep.
Oh,
that was a good one.
So, I guess because it's not ghosts per se on this one.
Sure.
We won't
do haunted or nah.
We won't do haunted or nah. Maybe we'll do like, dude, is that sick?
Yeah.
Or nah?
Well, that's very sick.
Very sick.
Creepy as fuck, dude.
Just yeah, like, I guess creepy would be a good one.
Yeah, yes. I'm giving that a creepy stamp.
Super creepy.
20,000 people.
And it's just like it's remote. It's in the cliffs.
Yeah.
People are like throwing themselves from the cliffs.
Yeah.
People are, I don't know, allegedly drinking blood.
Yeah.
Putting people on stakes.
Well, and the crazy thing is, I think you hinted on it a little bit in your intro. What I understand that there's still a very religious community in Romania today where, like, they do believe in vampires, like the undead.
Yeah, probably.
And stuff like that, which is very fascinating that they still have carried on kind of this idea and stuff like that. So I'm going with creepy.
I'm certified creepy.
Certified creep.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Is it slam poetry time?
I do believe it is. Slam poetry time. All right. Are you ready?
I do. I just want to say, we've talked about it before off the pod, I think.
Yes.
I love this glass.
Right? Isn't that glass so awesome? It fits into your hand perfectly.
So I have like a Jameson Rocks glass that's like, I don't know. I would describe it as kind of like more of a V shape.
It's so cool.
It's a very, I don't know, it's very pleasing to the touch.
Yes, and the way your hand sits on, like you're meant to like put your arm over, like drape it over something and just hold, no, but by the top, you got to hold it by the top. Like that, like, no, like put your hand over, like, think like how Brad Pitt holds a glass.
Yeah.
That is not real, that looks a lot more awkward than how Brad. You gotta like that. Like,
well, yeah, dude, I'm not Brad Pitt.
Oh, man, but doesn't it feel good just in your hand? However you hold it, it just feels good, man.
It does feel good, yeah.
It feels good, dude.
It's got a good feel.
It does. And that's half the battle of a drink is a good glass.
It is.
Oh, man. All right, well, I will slam poet it while you sip it. Trick or Treat, the Goblin King Edition.
That's the name?
Yes.
Okay.
Halloween. I shouldn't have said yes. Danny DeVito shows up looking like he crawled out of a Spirit Halloween dumpster in one custody of every bad idea. He's wearing pajama pants, a fake mustache, and what I think used to be a vampire cape, but might actually be a shower curtain. He's sweating confidence. Listen, kid, he says, we're not trick-or-treating, we're running the streets. First house, they hand out toothbrushes. Danny sniffs one, grimaces like it's radioactive, and yells, do I look like I floss? Then he tossed it behind a bush and struts away, like a man avenging a cavity. Next stop, the good candy house. He belly slides across the lawn like a hockey puck in Crocs, scoops the whole bowl and says, finder keepers, sugar weepers. I'm both horrified and deeply impressed. Halfway through the night, he's sticky. His cape's caught on a mailbox, and he's eating candy corn straight out of his pocket. like trail mix for the emotionally unstable. What the? He's haggling with children now, offering expired coupons for mini Reese's. One kid takes the deal. We both respect the hustle. By the end, we're sitting on a porch, wrappers everywhere. He's breathing heavy, hair wild, and says, "You know what, kid? Halloween's about commitment and also about taking candy before anyone else does." He laughs a raspy, gremlin cackle that smells faintly of caramel and regret. And honestly, that's the spirit of Halloween. There you go.
That was beautiful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. So for the first time in Spirits on Spirits history, I'm about to get up and make myself a different cocktail for the second story.
So exciting.
So, all right, we will be right back at you.
Burbs. We're so back. We reloaded. Well, we didn't reload. Well, I guess we did reload, but with new things.
I loaded the new gun.
You loaded the new gun. My story, this spooky Halloween episode, is about Sleepy Hollow, New York. Ooh, oh my, too quiet. Yeah, about Sleepy Hollow, New York, one of the most infamous places in all of the land, filled with eerie stories, heavy fog, and a trot that will fill your dreams with nightmares.
Cool.
What are we sipping on for this Sleepy Hollow portion?
So, I didn't follow a recipe for this.
Ooh!
I kind of created it on my own. I basically took an Irish coffee and added some pumpkin liqueur to it.
Love it? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's 8 ounces of coffee, 1 ounce of Irish whiskey, heavy cream, and then another ounce of the pumpkin liqueur.
That sounds amazing.
We'll see how it turns out. I have no idea.
Very curious. Cheers.
Cheerio. And I'm drinking out of my pumpkin mug.
That was a bad clasp. And I also just absolutely shouldered the microphone while I did that. So if all you hear during that clasp is, that is my left shoulder just giving the mic the business. So, yep.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. It's not even the taste. The heavy cream got, chunky.
Ew.
Because it does. And
what? When does heavy cream get chunky?
It just, when it sits for a little while.
Did it sit for, chunky. 4 days? Did you make this 4 days ago?
No. In the container, it got chunky.
Oh.
And then I didn't, filter.
Well, stir it.
I'm fine.
You're not going to want to... That face you're not going to want to make every time...
No, I got a chunk.
Oh, okay.
But right. Most of it's not chunky. It's just like there's a little... Gotcha. There's a few chunks. Yeah, cool. I'll take another sip.
See if there's another chunk. We're chunk hunting.
Yep. Yep, it's a chunky drink.
Get a spoon and unchunk it.
It's fine. I'll be fine.
I'm just going to make you chunk it up all episode. Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah, the face was a texture thing. It wasn't a...
Gosh.
The flavor is actually pretty good.
Is it?
Just coffee.
It's a boozy pumpkin coffee.
Yeah, there's a little hint of some booze.
Gotcha.
But it's mostly just coffee.
Are you a PSL guy? Do you like pumpkin coffee and stuff like that?
No.
Really?
I like pumpkin donuts.
Dude, the pumpkin donuts. I've had
an alarming amount this year.
Alarming amount.
So, I live very close to the Dunkin' Donuts in Salem, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. that did the purple, droopy liquid shit for their decorations on the building. So, anytime that I want to go and get a pumpkin donut, it's everyone and their mother
is taking pictures.
Yeah. In the Dunkin' Donuts, just getting their morning coffee or whatever. But I'm dude, literally So we're filming this in the last week of October. Next week, it'll be empty.
Yes.
That Dunkin' Donuts will be empty.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It will pretty much be empty for the next 11 months until October comes back around. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
Just a little secret. This is a no judgment, judgment-free zone.
Judgment-free.
Last week, Thursday, I had 3 pumpkin donuts.
That's it? That's the secret?
Well, last week, Friday, I had 3 pumpkin donuts as well.
That's not that.
Last week, Saturday, I had 20 pumpkin munchkins.
20?
We bought a box of 25 and had an 8-5. And I ate 20.
I mean, that's probably about the equivalent of like.
Yeah, there's 5 munchkins per donut. So.
Yeah, so you're fine.
But I had 9 pumpkin donuts over the course of 3 days.
No, that's honestly fair because on. What was it? I don't know. Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
I think Sunday. I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and brave the line and I'm going to get myself some pumpkin donuts. I sat in line for 45 minutes.
Really?
And it was packed. It was a Sunday morning. I was dumb.
What time do you go, though?
I went at like 11:30.
Yeah, that's way too late. You got to go like, every Saturday I go to that Dunk's after my run, and it's like 9:30. And it's crowded, but it's not that crowded
At the same time, I was braving a hangover from a party that you threw.
That's fair.
And I didn't wake up until like 11.
That's fair.
So I went at 11:30. I braved the line. I got myself 5 pumpkin donuts. Carson had 1. I had all. I had the rest of the 4.
You had 4 pumpkin donuts.
I had 4 pumpkin donuts on one day.
That's amazing.
Dude, I fucking love pumpkin donuts.
Oh, they're the best, dude.
I'm dreading the day that they go back out of season.
Dude, you know which one I really liked and they got rid of it? It's similar to the pumpkin donut with that like glaze on the outside. They used to do a gingerbread one for Christmas. And that was fucking
awesome. I am just not a gingerbread guy.
Dude, why do you not like gingerbread?
I just don't love it.
It's awesome. I just love food, holiday foods and stuff like that. I'm also, the older I get, the more my sweet tooth is like coming out and stuff like that.
Same. I know you're a big ice cream bowl before bed guy. Yes. I'm the same.
You know what I've been doing lately? Like this past, I think it's that my like seasonal, like the sad or whatever it is like getting to me, dude. Cause I'm doing bowl of ice cream. I do a Kit Kat. I break it up, put it on the bottom.
Ooh.
Put some M&Ms on the bottom. Then do the ice cream on top. Then do another layer of M&Ms. Do hard shell over it so it like freezes it in and like it's sitting on top. Then whipped cream. Then more M&Ms.
That's a process.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. It's legit, dude.
I'm in a bit of a health.
Oh, okay.
Health kick right
now. Yeah.
So I've been doing, instead of like a bowl of ice cream, I've been doing a Yasso bar, which is like a frozen yogurt bar. Okay.
How is it?
It's actually really good. It's a coffee with like chocolate chunks in it.
Nice.
It's very good.
Nice.
But I'm throwing a Halloween party on Friday.
Yeah.
On Halloween. And part of the, like, decoration, not decoration, but, like dessert decoration thing, Carson got a bunch of, like, a ginormous bag of the sour gummy worms. So I'll probably end up incorporating that into my frozen yogurt, like, orange leaf style.
Nice. There you go.
Remember orange leaf?
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace.
Were you able to do that with your allergy?
Yeah, I could eat it.
Oh.
I could eat it. I don't think I did toppings, but I could eat the yogurt. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, good stuff, but, all right, should we get into Sleepy Hollow?
Dude, get into it, I'm excited.
So, unlike yours, it's not a lot of history behind the myth, or the legend of Sleepy Hollow, so I couldn't do, like, a super deep dive into the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Sure.
But I found other legends that exist in the town. So I found like a couple of different ones and I felt like, you know what? Like I could do Sleepy Hollow some justice. Also after looking at this, I was like, I really want to go to friggin' Sleepy Hollow now.
Like, I know you really want to do the golf course there.
Yes, they do have a very, very nice golf course there, and I really would like to play it. So if anyone has connections and wants to let me come hang out at Sleepy Hollow Country Club, I...
If you live in Sleepy Hollow and you want to trade apartments...
Yeah. I'm a fun hang. All right, so when I tell you the legend of Sleepy Hollow, what do you think of?
Headless Horseman.
The Headless Horseman. So the legend is the centerpiece of Sleepy Hollow's haunted lore. The story was popularized by Washington Irving's 1820.
Clear.
Yeah. 1820 short story, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and it's set in the Dutch-settled Hudson Valley. According to local tradition, a nameless battle of the American Revolution left a mounted Hessian soldier decapitated by a cannonball. His body was buried locally, and his restless spirit rides the region at night searching for his missing head.
So that's the story of the Headless Horseman?
Yeah, so the story...
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, the story of the Headless Horseman was that it was a Hessian soldier... German.
Right.
Is Hessian.
I think so, yeah.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Not 100% sure. Pretty sure. Hessian is German. And he came over, and he was on not the good guy's side. And he got decapitated by a cannonball. Now
that's tough. Mm-hmm. That's like cannonball to the dome.
Yeah, cannonball to the dome is crazy.
That's awful.
Just, I got domed in Sleepy Hollow. You know how they make the shirts that say, I got stoned in Salem? We should make them and then say, I got domed in Sleepy Hollow.
We should go visit because I really want to see another Halloween town.
Yes, 100%. So, this is different than the story. So, have you ever seen the movie?
Yeah.
So, you know how the story and that is a little different.
Yeah. Like, he's got a pumpkin head.
Well, no. That's... Hold on. Sorry. I sneezed.
That was something.
Oh, bless me. Thank you. No, he was like a mercenary, and he came over just to kill and all that stuff. So, he was murdering people.
Yeah, I didn't really remember the plot.
And then the little
much.
Girl, like, snaps the twig and stuff like that. So then they find him and chop him up and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, a little different than the movie. But, yeah, that is the gist of that. And he rides at night to find his head. In the original story, Ichabod Crane is the schoolmaster. And he's pursued by the horseman as he rides home after a party.
So, disturbing and gory question here.
Yeah.
He's searching for his head.
Yes.
Wouldn't it just be, like, exploded?
Maybe.
Like, it would just, it would not be all head, it would be like...
Scientifically, you might be onto something.
If you take a cannonball to the dome, it's...
Yeah, if you get...
It's not staying intact and, like, coming off of your body. It's, like, exploding into multiple different pieces.
Getting domed by CB can really turn you into tiny pieces.
Yeah, CB to the dome is...
I took a CB to the dome. We should make a Euro pop Sleepy Hollow song. I took a CB to the dome.
Someone does a techno remix.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get copyrighted.
CP to the dome.
Yeah.
I got to find my head.
Yeah. Don't think we're going to get copyrighted for that one.
Well, it doesn't exist.
No, exactly.
That's ours. That is.
Yes.
If you use that out there somewhere, we're copyrighting you.
We're coming for your asses. We're going to eat your asses. So that is the main legend of Sleepy Hollow. Now there was actually other headless rider tales. There was the Irish Dullahan, and then the German Wild Huntsman that existed in their respective places. And he took and borrowed that and built the Sleepy Hollow legend of the Headless Horseman.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Now, the second one is very interesting. The Woman in White at Raven Rock. First off, this town has just, like, spooky-sounding name things. Like, Raven Rock.
Raven Rock.
That's sick.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. Tucked away in the woods of the Poconos? No, Pocatinko Hills. Buttermilk Hill area. Near what is now known as the Rockefeller State Park Preserve lies a deep, dark glen in a large rock formation called Raven Rock. Its remote atmospheric nature spawned local ghost stories.
Ooh.
Now, there's two versions of this story. One version is a woman was out collecting firewood or traveling in winter storms and became severely lost in a snowstorm. And sought shelter near Raven Rock, drifted in snow, and perished there overnight. Since then, her spirit wanders the glen, her cries said to echo like a howling wind just before storms.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she warns people that storms are coming.
Could you imagine, like, most places have...
Oh, sorry, I just bumped the mic.
Most places have the Weather Channel. In Sleepy Hollow, it's like, oh, Glenda's... yelling in the canyon again. Yeah. It's like, oh, we're getting a lot of snow tonight. Wait, hold on. Let me. Oh, wow. It's going to be like 6 inches at least. Yeah.
Dude, the school superintendent, not focusing on meteorologists, he's like listening for Glenda to be like,
oh, shit.
Oh, it's a snow day.
I should cancel school.
Buses definitely can't run in that.
You're like, there's 12 feet of snow on the ground. She's like, Glenda's not yelling yet. I'm not canceling. Oh, man.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty good. Another version. A young woman dressed for an elopement or meeting a lover arrived at the cliff/rock for her appointment, but the lover didn't show because a storm came. She waited until she froze or fell to death. Her ghost in white still haunts the site.
Mm.
So... crazy.
Sad. I feel like the Woman in White is always a sad one.
Yeah. Now, apparently, there is a another ghost at Raven Rock as well. A Native American maiden killed by a jealous lover, a colonial woman who fled a raider. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Does that have anything to do with the Las Vegas football team, the Raiders?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But maybe. The next legend of Sleepy Hollow is the ghost of Sybil Harris, king at the King Mansion. The King Mansion, also called the King House Mansion, is part of the Terrytown House Estate, an old Gilded Age estate in Sleepy Hollow, built around the late 19th century. The legend is that Sybil Harris King, daughter-in-law of Thomas King, is said to roam the second floor of the mansion. Guests report footsteps, orbs, shadows, the feeling of someone pacing outside their door, and then many associate room 293, said to be where she died on August 1st, 1955. Now, some report she appears in a white gown or manifests as flickering shadows. One guest reported their phone date changed to 1865 overnight.
That's super cool.
Super crazy. Another Pandora playlist repeated endlessly mysterious electronic phenomenon attributed to ghosts. So
she's like, I want to hear my jams.
Yeah.
And I want the phone to reflect my time. So it's 1865.
I thought that was crazy. So there's a couple more. So Patriots Park and Major John Andre, which this is the tale of the spy's ghost and the battle tree. So Patriots Park marks the spot where in September 1783, local militiamen captured British spy Major John Andre as part of the Benedict Arnold treason affair. The legend. Though the capture was historic, ghost stories say that on one crisp autumn evening, one can hear the horse's hoofbeats of Andre's mount echoing along the road, then stopping abruptly at the capture site. His ghost is linked to the Valley of Sleepy Hollow. So, it's crazy. They got a spy, murdered him, and then boom.
Sleepy Hollow is a cool name.
Yeah, right? Super cool. So, the other one is the Bronze Lady statue. It is said to be a cursed monument. So, within the 90-acre Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, the Bronze Lady statue... Right?
That's a
big-ass cemetery.
Fair enough.
Gotcha. Was erected in 1903 in memory of Civil War General Samuel Thomas. Now, the legend is that the widow of the general reportedly disapproved of the look of the statue. And then when repairs weren't done, the sculptor smashed the statue's head. From then on, legend says that if you're to knock on the general's tomb door and peek through the keyhole, you'll have a bad dream that night.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we should go knock.
No, why would I do that?
The worst that's going to happen is a bad dream.
Well,
it's not that bad.
Dude, you say that. If you've had really bad dreams, like, you know, like, you could be fucking like, I just murdered 12 people in my dream and the cops are coming for me. And then they wake up and you're like, oh shit, I'm fine. But then you still are like.
But then, yeah, then you wake up.
I guess. I don't know. Now, the last one is Wiley Swamp. The Misty Hollows of Dreams. So there in Sleepy Hollow was a marshy area. It is now drained, but there's a marshy area called Wiley Swamp that featured the legend of the Headless Horseman's chase. The story says that the horseman begins his pursuit near the marsh / creek crossing and then passes through what used to be the swampy land. The fog, still water, reeds, and creeks contribute to this haunted atmosphere. So I thought that was another cool one. Obviously, that ties back into the Headless Horseman one.
Yeah.
The rest do not, but I thought that was very cool.
Certified creepy.
Certified creepy, right?
Like certified sick, but also yes. Certified creepy.
I feel like every corner you turn, there's just a different creepy-ass thing that happens there.
Yeah.
So, creepy as fuck.
Certified.
Certified creep. All
right. Ending it on a high.
Ending it on a high. Well, happy Halloween to all of you ghouls, goblins, and goofy goobers out there. We appreciate you all. We hope you all safe and healthy All Hallows Eve. And we just appreciate you all.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
The way you said that, I was like, oh, we appreciate it. And you're like, yep. Cool.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, bye.
Yeah. All right, well, we will see you all again for our normal scheduled programming on Monday. Until then, cheers.
Cheers-a-roon.